Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yotis B, welcome to the Sportive episode. I don't remember. John's here. Hi, John.
Hi, Brandon.
Do you remember what episode number this is?
453,000.
Hold on. Correct. We also have Chicken Fingers again. Hello, Chicken.
What's up, fuckers?
Sup. We don't have Stu tonight. I don't know why. Something dumb.
He was pretty noncommittal about why he couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Is there a chance Stu is Bob Covington?
There's always a chance.
Just getting on a plane to Houston.
I'm just asking questions.
Right, of course. It's fair to ask. I don't know. I don't want to talk hoops yet, though. I want to talk Twins.
Good.
Yes.
What? John, are you okay with this? Okay, so we want to talk about the trades. All the crazy trades happened last night, so we got on the horn. So I first want to ask you how you feel about the Twins trade. We're gonna pick his nickname soon, in a little bit here, but I believe it's something like Kenta Maeda? Maeda?
Hmm. King Kunta.
Kenta Maeda.
Kenta Maeda.
Right.
Well, that's how it looks.
And we got rid of our favorite player, Buster Gunderson. We loved Buster so much.
We did
because
love
he represented
Buster.
Hope. And that is all we have as Minnesotans, is a little bit of hope for greatness. And he's gone. And I don't think Kenta Maeda is going to bring us a whole lot of extraordinary hope. So that part makes me a little sad. John, how are you feeling?
I have any number of feelings. A lot of how you feel about this trade depends on how you feel about old Buster Gunderson.
Mm-hmm.
And on the one hand, he was the Twins' best pitching prospect. He threw 146 miles an hour, which the Twins have never had really ever. And while he was in the bullpen last year, after he got hurt, he started as a starter in the minors last year. He got hurt. They brought him in as a reliever down the stretch. He was going to start the season in the bullpen this year, but you could imagine him in the not too distant future being a flame throwing top of the rotation starting pitcher. That's an exciting thought, but on the other hand, he was a Twins pitching prospect, so he couldn't have been more than 5-6 days from an elbow injury that ruined his career.
Certainly February.
So it's hard to know. I don't like that he's gone. The real struggle is, Chicken and I talked about this a little bit this morning on Twitter. We both sort of did the same thing, which was, let's go look up Kenta Maeda. I assume he's 26, 27, sort of entering his prime. People are talking about how he has a friendly contract, so it'll be nice to have this guy controlled for the years of his late 20s when this will really be a key time. But he's 32 years old already.
No spring chicken.
Which I get that it makes sense given that he was coming over from the Japanese League, but he's a league average 32-year-old starting pitcher, number three starter, number four starter. The Dodgers, which I recognize that the Dodgers have more pitching talent than the Twins do, but the last couple of years, they would shut him down at the start of September and start turning him into a reliever for the playoffs. And that's not exactly, that doesn't scream the kind of profile that makes me think, yes, we have to get rid of the Twins' best pitching prospect to be sure that we can get Kenta Maeda.
Rich man's Nick Blackburn.
Right. When you put it in those in that particular term, it's even more depressing.
I'm sorry. His contract is insane, too. It's like he somehow has the Bobby Bonilla contract, but for his prime of his career. Just $3 million a year for 8 years or something like that. I don't know what the exact numbers were, but it was something almost that silly. Was he just not supposed to be any good when he got signed?
Well, people are talking about it like it has incentives such that if he manages to go the whole year without tripping over the third baseline, he makes $10 million, not $3 million. So it sounds like he has a lot of very achievable incentives in there.
Just the least.
But here's the thing. We've said this a million times on this podcast. I legitimately don't care how much he gets paid. If he had a $100 million a year contract, I don't care. It's not my money.
It's not our money. Sportive rule.
Yeah.
Not our money.
I'm only concerned with how good of a pitcher he is. And I realize they're trying to win now, but Kenta Maeda doesn't really scream win now to that much of a degree.
It's also just the least sexy thing in the world is to trade an absolute flamethrower. The kid, Buster Gunderson, is in fourth grade, and he throws 105 miles an hour. That is incredible. And then, like, the low ceiling number three starter, 32-year-old, makes a lot of sense on paper. Makes a lot of sense for lots of reasons, but just no joie de vivre in this trade, which I think is why people seem to be generally not super pumped about this. Is that the gauge you're getting from the people?
Well,
on the streets?
I mean, let's bring Chicken in here. Chicken, is that how you're feeling?
No, I'm looking at a survey right now. 2 seconds ago. I just lost it. About how people feel about the trade. It was one of the beat writers. I want to say it was Dan Hayes. I'll find it here. Derek Wetmore posted a survey. How do people feel about the trade? 70% like it. 11% don't. And 19% are saying wait and see, which is kind of a chicken shit thing to do on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, that was
Twitter.
Guys, you're voting in an internet poll. This is not a binding contract. Go ahead and pick a side.
Yeah.
What an odd thing to
it's not gonna come back
show
to
me
haunt
the
you.
Results.
Show up in an interview 10 years from now. Wow, you
like
really jumped the gun on
here,
that one,
sir.
Every poll the Star Tribune ever runs about anything sports related, there's like a don't know, don't care option, and it always has 10% of the votes. And what are you doing? Are you just
care.
Clicking everything that comes up in front of you on the internet?
Don't
well,
care.
Well, I have to say, sir, that your resume is strong, and we're really comfortable hiring you for the CEO position. But it says right here, 12 years ago, you posted as Butthole 0073 and voted show me the results. That was an option, but instead you picked no on the Grundersall trade, and we're gonna have to pull our offer.
Yeah, that's a deal breaker.
Not the kind of decision making go getter we're looking for.
Anyways, it seems to me that people really like the trade, if that survey's any indication.
Yeah.
There's an underlying current that I think maybe what the opinion that bothers me the most is the one that says, well, you fans, you said the Twins never trade their prospects, and they finally do, and now you're not happy. You're just never happy. Well, give me a break. I mean, if your wife is always on you, pestering you to clean out the garage, and you just take a torch to the garage and start it all on fire and
burn it
to the ground and say, well... You always told me to clean it up. You're just
you told
never
me to
happy,
declutter. There's no clutter anymore.
It's all gone now. You're just never happy, are you? I think a reasonable person can say, yeah, we wish they'd trade their prospects, but for a reasonable return. Now, is this a reasonable return? I suppose is arguable. It's not. You can squint at this and say that that's a reasonable return. The angle I took and what I messaged Ramball today was, I think where I was coming at this offseason from was what the Twins need more than anything to take the next step is a starting pitching, at least one, if not two, starting pitchers who are as good or better than Berrios. That's what they need. If you look at, you know, look at the World Series last year, it wasn't Kathy Matea or what's this guy's, what did we decide? Kendall Martin?
We'll get there.
What's the guy's name?
We'll get there. Right now it's just the regular one.
Kendall, I honestly can't remember
Kenta
his name.
Kenta Maeda.
That's the point. Kenta Maeda was not a starting pitcher in the world in Game 7 of last year. That, you know, Scherzer, Verlander, those are the kind of guys that are going to help you take the next step. Strasburg. Now, they can't afford those guys, and that's fine. They've decided they can't afford. They can, but they're not going to pay that much. The next angle that you can take to secure high-end starting pitching is using your prospects through trade. And instead, what the Twins did was they used their top pitching prospect to secure a rich man's Kyle Gibson, to secure a number three, maybe best case scenario, he's as good as Odorizzi. That's really his high end and
ceiling.
That's his ceiling. What John put his finger on is, no, we pretty much know this guy's ceiling. He's 32. It'd be pretty surprising for him to have a breakout season at 33. So we pretty much know who he is. And I just don't know about using your top pitching prospect to secure a guy that who isn't better than Berrios. The whole point of the offseason was to try to get higher end starting pitching, not somebody who's just better than Homer Bailey. That wasn't the goal. It's better than Berrios, not better than Homer Bailey. That was the goal. And now they don't have that chip to play anymore either. If they want to secure starting pitching in the future, they have one less trade chip and a pretty high-end trade chip. Now, people can argue about his and bring up the point on his health. And, you know, like John did, will he, you know, be hurt tomorrow? Well, yeah, really anybody can be that way. You can. There's that concern with any starting pitcher. Or with really any pitching prospect that throws 100, yeah, they could, their arm could boomerang off their shoulder tomorrow. Yeah, that's possible. But that's the angle I take on the trade. I wish they would have used this trade chip. I'm okay with them trading Gratterall. I'm okay with it. I just wish they would have gotten somebody. You couldn't get a high end pitcher just for Gratterall. You'd have to package Gratterall with another prospect. I understand that. But I wish they would have used him along with somebody else to secure a sexier name.
Yeah, sexy names are tough to come by. I wonder how many guys who are better than Berrios. There are for sure plenty of guys. How many of them available?
Well, let's say Berrios is like the Athletic ranked the starting pitchers, and Berrios is 25th.
Okay.
So let's say, I mean, Athletics, that's a pretty good, I think, a reputable site. I actually like it a lot. So let's say there's 24 of them. How many of them are available? I think that's a reasonable question. If there's 24, how many of those 24 are reasonably available? I don't know.
Yep.
I think ultimately what this comes down to for me, there's been a lot of talk about how the Twins are going for it, trying to win now, etc. But I'm not entirely convinced that if they had just said, instead of trading for somebody, we're going to take Buster Gunderson and put him in the starting rotation this year, I would have felt way more excited about that, even knowing that he's got a certain number of physical struggles and a certain injury history. If you want to win now, then maybe just make this guy who was a starting pitching prospect a starting pitcher again, even if he's John, in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm. John and Brandon, is it okay to believe, although people keep screaming it, that securing Kenta Maeda is not going for it? That's not trading for him is not going for it. Am I? It's okay to think that's not going for it, right?
I think it's even though I think you need to. Well, there's it's certainly almost undeniable was a move to win now versus later. It's maybe not going all in, like, holy shit, these guys really, whatever, but, you know, they traded a young guy who's probably going to have his peak in, you'd think, a few years for a guy that's peak is pretty much right now. So there, it's a win now move, but yeah, I think it's fair to say if this is going all in, that's probably trouble. That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brandon, what are your thoughts? Which side of this are you on? I mean, you don't need to be on a side. You can be on both sides like I was, but
I am trying to figure out how much of this is just because it's just so much fun to watch a dude throw a ball 102 miles an hour. Win or lose, it's just really, really a blast. How much of that is coloring my point of view on this trade? And also, do I really even think they're going to win it all ever anyway? And if I don't believe that, then maybe I just think the more fun guy would have been more enjoyable to have on the team, even if he provides less war over the next 5 years or whatever. Because I definitely I'm not excited about watching Kenta Maeda. Just not in any regard. And that's probably true for basically every single number three starter and number four and number five across the league. Like, this just, they're just not, I don't need an innings eater. It's not a guy that brings a lot to the table. But I would say I totally understand the point of view of why they did it. Most likely is I don't think he will stay healthy. Like, he might, but if you're going to play the odds, he probably won't. He's already had injury problems. He's 21 years old. Guys who throw that hard, I'm having a hard time thinking of a whole lot of guys that that have stayed healthy.
The one guy that came to mind was Chris Sale, who did he did stay reasonably healthy. But I remember when he first came up, it was like, yeah, like, that guy's arm's not going to fly into the first base stands twice a year. Look at his delivery. He's 6 foot 10 inches tall and 112 pounds. There's no way this can last, and it lasted fine.
Yep, that's true. That's true. I still would not bet a whole lot of my own money on him making it, being an effective pitcher for a whole lot of years. So I get why they did it. It probably makes their and just in general, a decent starter is more valuable than a good reliever. Now, if he's like an unbelievable lights out, you could probably make a different case. But mostly, if I had to bet, I'd say that this makes the team better next year. But it's just kind of...
But not by a lot.
Not by a lot. And you could very easily see the way this goes poorly, like our old friend Rocky Nabisco. whatever that guy's name, other guy, Vance Worley. Like, but whenever we got those guys, we were just like, oh,
there were so many different ways you could have gone with that. Kevin Correa, Mike Pelfrey, many choices.
And some guys were for sure like flyers. Like, I don't know about that, but I guess it maybe could work out. Like Rich Hill this year. Like, we've had a bunch of those guys. But we've had other guys, too, that have been like, oh, this guy's for sure a three-starter. And he has sucked ass, too. So, it's always a crapshoot with pitchers, no matter what. No matter how healthy they are or they've seemed or whatever. This just 90% of them, it's you just don't know what you're going to get. So, I guess I rationally like it. But if I'm going to be more cynical that the Twins aren't going to win it anyway, I'm going to miss the flamethrower. We don't have anybody else that exciting to watch.
Right.
And like, at all. Like, is Taylor Rogers the most exciting pitcher we have, probably? I guess Berríos, when he's really Berríos on, he's fun, say, but it's just, you know, Odorizzi.
I like watching Sergio Romo pitch.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's because he's 5'3" and throws 61 miles an hour.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's because it's dazzling.
Yeah, but it's still, I guess, entertaining.
I'm saying...
Sure. And he's excitable. I mean, he's just kind of... He's happy to be there.
Good
dude. Which makes you happy to watch him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, I'm going to try to talk myself into appreciating win now moves, and this is a kind of a little bit of one. I'm trying to talk myself into that because we don't do that enough, and this season should be good. And they got Donaldson. Makes sense. I like the idea of, like, we got Donaldson. He's not getting any younger. We got a window here. The window's open.
But it's Kent Maeda. It's not... That's... Guys, it's Kent Maeda. It's not... I don't know.
I know.
I mean...
It's so hard to talk yourself into that guy.
It's a guy with a 4-plus ERA...
In the National League.
In Dodger Stadium, which is like fucking 100 acres in size. It's huge.
Uh-huh.
And it's the National League. Pitchers are hitting. And he's got a 4-point whatever ERA and can't stick in the rotation. I don't know, Brandon.
I don't either.
And it's Kent Maeda. I mean, it's not...
He's the final piece of the puzzle, only if the puzzle you're doing is collect all of the players in baseball named Kenta.
True. It's a so true.
Weird puzzle. That's an odd puzzle.
I mean, puzzles are there for connoisseurs. They're for the eccentric.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, that's about the noise that I made when I saw that last night. It suddenly Twins Twitter was aflame because the Twins were the part of this deal, and everybody got excited, and then everybody sort of made that same noise, which was really.
Well, at first I thought they were getting David Price. That's
right.
In the first reports, that's what it made it sound like. It was,
wait, and David what? Price gets paid enough that you can have him for nothing, basically.
Well. Yeah, that was real. Yeah, so that was, and then it got changed to a guy I'd never really heard of.
So let me ask you though, how much if we're thinking about, I think we should probably have faith that Falvin, they're looking for a really good starter, I would think. How much faith do you have that they really did make every call to every team and were like, we know there's 20 guys that are better. Here's the list of guys we're willing to give up. We'll give you Rosario and Gunderson for this guy and just got no takers. And this thing was on the table. And they just decided, hey, we have made every single other phone call. We are doing our best, the best we can possibly do this year. Is Kent Maeda. How much faith do you have in those conversations happening?
I have a lot of faith that they made those phone calls.
I do too.
My lack of faith, Brandon, lies... I'm not saying I know. I just... My lack of faith lies in their ability to measure value in a player. I have no doubt they can identify coaches who can... and implement a system that develops and squeezes every ounce of talent out of existing players on the major league roster. I think that's visible on the field. Taking up a guy and using technology and the coaches that they have selected, they can develop a player, they can identify players who haven't tapped their full potential and squeeze out the full potential on the field. What I'm not sure of is their ability to, again, value a play. The Ryan Pressly trade, That
not great. Does that not great, Bob?
Still drives chicken nuts.
It just doesn't make a lick of damn sense, does it? It still doesn't. A year and plus later.
Right.
Did they have a different pitching coach at the time, or what is? It doesn't make sense.
It's at the trade level that I'm not saying I don't trust him. I'm not saying I do trust him. That's it. Is I just don't know. Because you look at moves like that and you just scratch your head and say it didn't make sense the second it happened. It doesn't make sense 18 months later or whatever it is. It never really made sense. So what metric are they using to value some of these guys? Like Ryan Pressly, who throws hard, has a lot of good stuff. And at the time, I think our only what we used to help us sleep at night over the Ryan Pressly trade was, well, they just must know something about Pressly we don't. And in retrospect, no. The Astros had a Pressly pretty much figured out.
Right.
The boy geniuses just simply didn't value him properly. And that's my concern about Gratterall is that we're in a similar situation. Is that our hope is that, and what I hear people trying to justify the move on is, like you said, they're just worried he can't stay healthy. There's just something they know about Gratterall that the others don't. Maybe that's it. I have to be hopeful there. I have to trust him. But looking at the Pressly move, I'm not sure I do. I'm not sure I should. I'm not ready to give him my full heart.
Yeah, you keep your heart close. I mean, I get it. I've been after it for years.
Oh no, yeah, it's no. I'm not ready, Brandon.
Okay. All right. Well, another 10 years.
Chicken's not ready for commitment quite yet.
No. Yeah.
It's okay. That's fine. Do you want to?
I don't know. Is that unreasonable? I guess I.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
I mean, how
but
many?
I want to believe.
I want to believe too. Let's think of this. How many games did the Twins win last year?
103.
Who have they lost? Buster Gunderson. Mm-hmm. Jason Castro.
The backup catcher. Yep. Kyle Gibson.
Gibby. Lost Gibby.
They're going to lose. They're going to start the season without. What's his name?
Pineda.
The steroid guy. Pineda.
Pineda. Yeah. And.
Anybody else?
They picked up. Kentamata.
Oh, they lost Crone and Scope.
Yep. And they also picked up Josh Donaldson.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty good team. We should be pretty excited.
Hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to pick out a nickname for our new guy?
Let's do it.
Okay, John, I let you do the other one. We did the knockout game.
Okay.
I forget who that was.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know either. This is great.
Wasn't it Sergei Gupdar or whatever? What's the Wolves GM?
Oh,
Sachin, Sachin, yeah.
No, Garrison Rosas.
Oh, Gilda Radner.
Yeah. Gilda Radner.
Yeah. You went with Gilda Radner. So I think Chicken should do the honors today.
Okay. Oh, Lord. Like, the only one that comes to mind is Kathy Matea, but I fully understand our audience may not have the appetite for, or even the knowledge base for marginally popular 1980s female country and western singers.
Yeah,
and they may just not even know who Kathy Matea is.
All right, well,
Brandon, let's hear your candidates.
We can start with
Chicken
that.
Chicken can do the voting.
We can start with that, and then we'll do the knockout round for there. So, you get to choose here, Chicken. Do you want? And we'll do. I think I've got 6 or 7 rounds here. So you start.
Okay.
Is it Kathy Matea or Karl Malone?
Well. Strictly from universal popularity, that the postman's probably the way you got to go.
Okay, the postman. All right, cool. So we're going to go. Okay, do you want Karl Malone or Captain Morgan?
I like Captain Morgan.
All right.
I hope it's not recency bias, because now I'm just picking the second one you say every time.
Well, we got 5 more. Captain Morgan or Colin Mochrie?
I don't know who that is, so I'm sticking with Captain Morgan.
Captain Morgan or Keith Moon?
Captain Morgan still. Okay. I like the Keith Moon. But the shit.
Captain Morgan or Kenny Mayne?
Fuck, it's still Captain Morgan or Keith Moon.
All right, so those two. All right, so then we'll stick with Captain Morgan or Karl Marx.
Look, that's a sweet spot for me. I'm going Karl Marx. You fucker. God, I didn't think you'd do it.
All right, so as before, that was just a quick knockout round, so we landed on Karl Marx as our selection, but you get a night to sleep on it, and then you can give us your final ruling later. If you've got a different one, if you want to circle back to Postman, that's fine. But as of now, our number three starter on the Twins is Karl Marx.
Postman Malone.
Can I offer this?
Yeah.
As a man of the people, can I defer my final vote to the sportive Twitter account?
Yep.
Or maybe I do it on my own and a poll that's posted for people to vote on.
Make sure you have an option that says I don't know, because people love that.
John and I both knew we were both going for that joke at the same time, and we're both hold on,
fucking Karchka ride that one up there for you. There you go. Here you go.
Oh, nothing better. Well, let's wait and see. It's too early to tell what his nickname should be.
What the fuck are you doing? Wait for results. That's the.
I'm gonna wait for a while. I'd like to see how he performs before we decide if he's Karl Marx or Karl Malone.
I am replying to Wetmore. I'm gonna reply to Derek Wetmore and say, "What the hell's the matter with you? Even offering to show me results on a Twitter poll? I'm doing that." Fuck, I'm doing it right now.
Oh, that's good. All right. Karl Marx. That is awesome. The
final two are the final two is Karl Marx versus Captain Morgan.
I think so. Yeah, I think that was the but he can also just decide I've thought about it and decided here's what I have another name, which I think we'll be okay with. Getting the Twins getting involved in the three team trade really threw us off the insanity of the talking about the insanity of that trade in general.
Right.
The Dodgers just picked up easily the second best player in baseball for almost nothing.
Nothing. They traded their fifth starter and a prospect who's obviously I've never heard of.
Again, a prospect. And like a guy that in his wildest dreams could never become Mookie Betts.
Mm-hmm.
The odds that he turns into Mookie Betts is 1 in 10,000. It could happen, but not likely. I just can't even believe it. And even David Price they picked up, and you could say like, oh, well, that was the price they had to pay was they had to pick up this contract. The Red Sox are still paying for a lot of that contract.
I know. That was the particularly amazing thing in the trade for me. That is, it's one of those deals that if you had offered it like in an auction format, that would not have been the winning bid.
Exactly.
There would have been any number of teams that would have been like, no, I'll tell you what, we'll take on all of Price's contract and give you way better players in return than you got back for this.
Yeah, I feel like it should be vetoed by the league.
Right.
Which is, I guess is not possible, but it's just such a confusing thing. Like, what has happened to baseball? I feel like it's like the private equity bros have hacked baseball and ruined it.
Why? I didn't quite understand. It was just sort of taken as a given that there was no way the Red Sox could sign Mookie Betts to an extension, so why even bother trying? Does he particularly hate Boston? I don't begrudge him that if he does, but...
No, they just don't want to pay that much, I guess.
But they're the Red Sox. They have billions of dollars to burn, as evidenced by the fact they're still paying David Price to not pitch for them.
That's the thing that I don't understand either. If they're just like, well, we've run the numbers. We can still be pretty good and still have a puncher's chance at the World Series if we, but we don't need to spend all this money on it. We can get rid of $70 million and still save a shitload of money and still be okay. And fans will continue to come, obviously. I don't know. It just feels really slimy to me. Maybe there's more right. to it. I haven't paid a crazy amount of attention, but it just seems so fucked up. But good for Mookie. I'd rather play for the
Dodgers.
Yeah,
I mean...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No. Anyway.
Doesn't have to live in Boston anymore. He's a nope. winner.
Sure is. All right. What do you think? Anything else on the Twins?
Nothing.
Nah, that's fine. I hope it works. I'm trying to be optimistic and not just such a dick about everything. Fuck. It's exhausting.
Yeah. I know. I just want to have a trade where we are the Dodgers in this scenario.
I know.
It's like, holy shit.
Wait, what? We got
other
the
teams
AL
are
MVP,
so stupid.
Like,
yeah.
For Mateo? Wait.
Yeah.
Really?
Ugh.
It does sort of make you wish that the Twins had gotten in on this call and been like, we want you to be the third team in this trade. All right. Just before we talk about being the third team in this trade, what if you just trade us Mookie Betts and David Price? What if we just do that? Let's just keep the Dodgers
out of
this.
We're halfway there. We're already getting you halfway there with Gratterall. What more would it take for
right.
just to get those two guys?
Which other player from
Without
our team
Dodgers.
Would you like?
Yeah.
Just name him. Polanco.
Just
take
pick,
Polanco.
Pick a guy.
Ugh. Yeah, I don't know. It could work out. Sure. I get it. It's just not that.
Yep.
Not that exciting.
No, it's not.
We're the wrong
it's
team
fine.
To get excited about a decent starter because I know, again, on paper, they are valuable and they can really help. But we just have been, I don't know, like 20 years of these middling pitchers and we go into the playoffs and get our asses handed to us. And it just feels like that's why. There's lots of reasons why, but that's what it feels like. So. We're the wrong team to have made this trade. And we never get the flamethrowers.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-mm. No, we had one for half an hour.
Oh, boy. So many memories. Well, I was stalling because the other team that has gone haywire with trades is the Timberwolves. And if you think that the Twins trade was somewhat confusing... I don't even know where to start with this one.
I mean,
it's. Well.
I need you to explain one thing regarding this trade to me, Brandon. It doesn't really matter who they got rid of. They got rid of Covington because he was really their only asset, and they had a bunch of guys they threw into the deal. And they got a bunch of throw-ins, but the point of all the throw-ins seemed to be they're going to have all of these contracts that are expiring this year. That will give them some salary cap room, and they'll also have a not very good draft pick at some point in the next couple of years. But I don't understand how a team that rather famously can't get any free agents to sign here is improving by having a bunch of cap space.
That's fair.
What?
That makes a ton
I mean,
of sense.
Was and maybe they do have cap space this summer, but is this, you're more of an NBA mind than I am, is this well known as a great free agency year in which having a lot of cap space is good, or
what? Well, it kind of depends on what you mean by cap space. They've got enough. They're getting cap space to kind of move in the direction of being able to sign some guys. The Wolves, of course, have never been a destination for superstars, but they get guys. They sign guys a lot. They signed Taj Gibson, and they signed Jeff Teague, and a bunch of other, like, they weren't great players, but they were decent players. So the cap space will help. It's not ever going to help us get Giannis, because he's not coming here, but it's not nothing. The only thing that's really just tough to understand right now, and we talk about it a fair amount here, and it's more true than anything, and you guys obviously love to shit on Sam Hinkie, which I know. But the one thing that he had that we can agree on, that we love, is just have a fucking plan. Have a plan and then execute it. Even if it's the stupidest thing in the world, that's what we are getting so confused. Well, hold. No. Even if it sucks, and he's the dumbest person on the planet.
It was a good plan. It was a reasonable plan.
So that's what I'm just like. Wait, you're agreeing with me?
I agree that Sam Hinkie had a good plan. Yes.
Oh, Jesus. No follow-ups.
he just was a fraud. He had no right being the person in charge to execute it. But we're not going to refight that battle.
But that's all we really want from anybody is, like, at least your guy, Mike Zimmer, has a plan. We know that he has a plan. Now, I don't agree with it, but he's got one. He goes, this is the football I want to play. I want to play this type of football. We go, okay, cool. Well, now we know.
And furthermore, to implement that plan, and I think just really quickly to add to it, so we're going to play this style of defensive football, and we're going to select large, athletic linebackers. I mean, very specific. That's a very specific thing, right? We're going to an Anthony Barr type. That's the kind of guy we're going to go after, these large, tall, fast, athletic
specimen
defensive players. That's the type of style that we're going to play. So anyway, keep going, because that's I think maybe where you're going with this.
So more than anything, that's what I want to know in the team that I care about. I want to know what their plan is. And the thing that I've gotten so far from Gilda Radner and company is they're saying the right things. They've worked at the right places for the right people to really have a good understanding of how to build a winning team. And I just see a lot of, like, moving around the margin, half measure type things that I'm not totally understanding what they're doing. They're not tanking outright. If they would have,
they don't really have to tank.
That might be a good thing.
The win version of the Timberwolves was just as bad as.
So they may be stealthily tanking and just pretending that they're not, which is fine. That is actually working. They're unbelievably bad. Like, they are just so comically terrible. But they do have Towns playing, and they are saying things about trying to build a winner. Who knows? That's my hope. My hope is they are secretly tanking.
Well, Brandon, the point I guess I was making is, didn't you tell me that the style of basketball that Gilda Radner was trying to build was built around shooting? Players that can shoot.
Well,
and then I come to find out that he is very first draft pick. The first person he selected, the biggest decision he'd made to date, he moved up in the draft to select a player who can't shoot.
Yes and no. I don't think that they. I mean, no team is going to survive with just all shooters and nobody who can actually, like, get them open. There's a bunch of different things that have to go into it. I'm watching the game right now. Jarrett Culver has something has happened to Jarrett Culver. He's not just, like, not a good shooter. Like, he's got some weird hitch, mental. He's got the yips. This is not something you could have been able to know from his college. Just
back up for a second. When the Timberwolves drafted him, I want it to be clear that I compared him to Markelle Fultz for this very reason, and you said I was being an idiot.
But why did you compare him to Markelle Fultz? He was a good free throw shooter in college, and he was an okay shooter
because
in college.
There were people who talked about how he had a weird shot that they were worried about.
Get him.
That was a legitimate concern with Culver coming into his professional career.
Right, right. But people said that about a bunch of guys who were 19 at the time and figured it out and got better. Culver has gotten from a 70, I'm not exactly sure what the numbers are, sport effect, something like 70% free throw shooter in college, which is like fine. You know, it's good. He's shooting like 40% on free throws. I, Brandon Broxy, don't shoot 40% on free throws in my Minneapolis league. Like, something's fucking crazy. Like, something's wrong with him. So I still think that they need a guy like that in even this system that they want to have more threes. So I don't know if it's certainly not looking great right now, but there's a lot of guys. D'Angelo Russell, for example, what looked terrible for 2 years, and now he's pretty good. So I'm not super worried about that, but it is, I think, probably still, you're right, Chicken, that like whatever system that they were trying to run, it wasn't a perfect fit for sure. And then they trade Jeff Teague for another guy who's basically just another shitty player with the exact same contract. And like, all right, I guess, you know, if you were playing fantasy football and some guy in your league was like, I'm a crazy deal maker. It's all, I just love whatever. And then like the trade he makes is like his fifth running back for your fourth wide receiver. It's like, yeah, all right. Boring. I mean, none of them are ever going to play. So
mm-hmm.
I guess I don't really understand that. And then this new trade, there are so many moving parts and so many people involved. I have to think there's some weird science behind it. But right now it just looks like they traded four shitty guys for four other shitty guys. Like, just they're all pretty bad at basketball. So what is the point? And the thing that I... okay, so John, you may remember this. Chicken, you definitely do not remember this. Let's say 2 months ago now, the Timberwolves were playing a basketball game against Oklahoma City Thunder, and they were winning. And one of our guys checked in, and when he checked in, his jersey was untucked, which was technically like you're not allowed to check in, and it's a technical foul, but no one really ever calls it. Chris Paul on the Thunder noticed that this guy's jersey was untucked and told the refs, like he tattled, and got a technical free throw out of it, and the Oklahoma City Thunder ended up winning.
I mean, the particularly surprising thing about that was that the ref was like, yeah, you're right, we got to call the technical.
Good call,
of just
Chris.
Being like, shut up. Just shut up.
So I made the comment, I was pretty annoyed with it, obviously, but I made the comment to a buddy, like, I actually think I would rather lose the game than care about the other team's jersey being untucked. And my buddy was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Chris Paul wins in that scenario. You might sound lame to you, but they won the game. But my point of that was not so much, yeah, of course I want to win the game. I don't think, and Chris Paul is a dude who's had like a lot of high profile, tough games in the playoffs or whatever. My point is, I don't want a guy focusing, spending any mental energy whatsoever on what at the fucking team's jersey on the other team. Like, just your brain should not be thinking that way. You should be thinking about other things. And that's the case with, I think, some of this stuff that they're doing right now of like, why are you guys sweating these trading Shabazz Napier for Evan Turner? Unless there's some sort of crazy magic something around it that we can't tell, they just feel like they should be focusing on other shit. Who cares? We picked up the ninth best player on Denver, and we gave up our 11th best player to go to Atlanta. It's just like, it's such a working on the margins to save $50,000 moves that that whole thing is more frustrating than the actual guys we took in and got out, because at the end of the day, that's, well, we sucked before and we suck now, and our salary cap sucked before and it sucks now, and you know, there's not a whole lot of anything that actually really happened. Is it false hustle, I think, is what I'm angry about. Just a ton of false hustle.
But they better do that, otherwise it looks like they're not doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Just crazy. I mean, like, they basically traded Covington for a first-round pick and Malik Beasley, who's, like, like the eighth-best player on the Nuggets. A fine pick. He's okay. In the best-case scenario, he's our fifth-best player someday. So, okay, I guess.
I think ultimately it seems like the Timberwolves, the plan was they've got Towns, they've got Wiggins, they're going to build around these two guys, and the team will go as far as those two can take them. And we know what's happened with Wiggins, and Towns is an incredible offensive player who might be the worst defender in the entire league.
He gives back 80% of the points he scores.
So, ultimately, the bet they made to build around Towns and Wiggins really isn't working out. And they had a couple of years where they tried to build around him, and they got Jimmy Buckets, and he ruined everything for a while. But they did make the playoffs that way, and now they are, again, up a creek without a paddle, because there's nothing they can do, it seems like. They have to try to figure out how to quickly rebuild a team around Karl Anthony Towns, except that's impossible. The thing that everyone's holding their hopes out for is the Wolves getting D'Angelo Russell, because he's great buddies with Towns, and that might be the reason he'd come here, except people straight up asked him why he didn't sign in Minnesota, and he was like, I wouldn't sign with Minnesota, it's too cold there. And so the team's only hope is a guy who has publicly said he does not want to come here. I don't know where that puts the Timberwolves, except in the garbage where they've been most of my life.
Not to mention that the guy that they're holding out for, D'Angelo Russell, is pretty good.
Yes, he's a really good player. He's who, like, in no way is going to change the whole franchise.
No, he is not. I mean, he's just not a good defender, and he's not super athletic, and it just feels like, well, that's the best guy we can possibly ever get, so we might as well go all in for him, which I don't blame them for doing that, but it's also, he's not the savior. So it's just, yeah, it's just really unbelievably confusing. Again, Gilda Radner and his guy Gupta, they have done very smart things in other organizations. They've been around and have seen how trades work, what trades have been successful and what trades have not. And I still, like, you don't, like, just immediately come to the Timberwolves and get a lobotomy your first week. They have to still be smart, accomplished guys.
What are you basing that on, Brandon? I'd like to know.
They're expensive.
What fact from the past or other evidence do you have to support your assertion here?
He does have ties to Mayo.
I posed a theory today on Twitter. I'm sure you didn't see it. To another account, that Target Center has a radon leak. Is that a possibility? Like, you walk in, it's not that you had a lobotomy, but you walk in and there's something.
Right. I'm not saying, but it might be a good idea at this point to move the team's offices to a different building just to see what happens.
I just install some sort of vapor intrusion, you know, right, barrier or something.
Exhaust getting into the skyway from the parking ramp, something.
Get a contractor in there to take a look.
Some of these things that, so if we think about the history of the Wolves that we know of it, a lot of it has been like we could see most of this stuff coming. And a lot of it has been Glenn Taylor's fault. David Kahn. That was a disaster pretty much from the get-go.
Right.
And we all knew it. Everybody knew it. And it was just like Glenn Taylor royally fucked up. And, of course, even when he's gone, there's still a lot more, like, those guys, their work, their fingerprints stay on the organization for years afterwards. So, yeah, that sucked. And that was all Glenn Taylor's fault. Thibodeau, we love the hire. I certainly did, because he was had a ton of success. Now, the argument against him was, even in the 2 years that you've been gone, the game has changed so much. You need to be able to adapt. The way you used to do shit is not going to work anymore. And I think we all knew that. I personally had faith that he was, like, such a basketball lifer and had spent his year or two off or whatever spending time with, like, the Spurs and whoever else, that he, like, he knew that and realized that. I figured I was hoping that an old dog could learn new tricks. I now know that that doesn't happen. But that was fairly explainable. Tibbs is who he is. That's what he wanted to do. He traded for all of his guys. He ran guys into the ground. He had some success, of course. But they were miserable to watch. It's exactly what, when this happened, that's what we expected, right?
Right.
Ryan Saunders came in, and we were all like, very nice young man. A very sharp child. Little tiny baby. Completely overmatched and should not have this job. But we're really happy for him. And that's exactly what has happened. So for me, like, most of this stuff, Occam's razor really has been the answer here. When I look at, again, Gilda Radner and his boy, I feel like they should be smart. And they should, like, at least get them to being a competent organization in a couple years. And they're a little bit hamstrung because their contracts and all of that shit. But for the... It's just seems like that's what it should be. So this, it's so far been, I guess I'm not like super bummed because they haven't like done anything terrible. I'm just a little confused at, again, what their plan is. Cause they're not, I don't know. They're just not really doing anything to an extreme degree yet, at all.
How can you be only bummed and not angry? Or completely dejected. That, how is it not obvious at this point that Gilda Radner is completely overmatched? In that everything that a plan is not obvious.
Nope.
The hiring of Saunders and not knowing that Saunders is completely in over his head. Nice boy. Not recognizing that Saunders would be in over his head. Isn't that a flashing red light to you as a fan that Rosas simply doesn't know what he's doing?
No, because I'm pretty sure that's a Glenn Taylor thing. He's still paying Tibbs. So I don't think that Glenn Taylor, is gonna be paying three coaches at once. So that one I don't put on him. But the other ones, you're right. The Culver one has not looked good yet. Hmm. You know, I'm a Longview man on that one. They drafted two other guys, Noel and Reed, who have actually been okay, but their second-round pickups are really who gives a shit. Getting rid of Covington for a first and Malik Beasley is reminiscent of, oh, my God, I just watched Culver shoot another free throw. I'm going to throw up. Holy shit. Oh, my God. It went 23 feet in the air and barely hit the left side of the rim. Oh.
I'm sorry.
I feel sick.
He traded up. Brandon, he traded up for him.
He did.
He moved up.
I really wanted him.
He said he identified this player.
This is my guy.
He said that we got to do what we can to get this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not great. Not great, Bob.
Were there other guys around him at that immediately behind Culver that are doing well in the NBA?
Oh, of course.
That he could have picked instead.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not going to play that game of like.
Well, no. It's not a guy was picked 30 yeah, picks later, and nobody saw it. I mean, like, everybody at the time was saying, no, don't pick Culver, pick this guy, and this guy is doing awesome.
At the time, the smart guys were saying Culver is a very good pick. Because he is young, and he's like a jack-of-all-trades type guy that those guys usually turn into something. Maybe not incredible, but you know, the comps that they gave of like good scenario was good players. Ron Artest, Joe Johnson, guys that are Rudy Gay, whatever. He's not those guys. So the pick, like at the time, from a like people who don't know what they're, you know, that are not in the private workout, whatever, felt fine. But it's just been a lot of like shuffling deck chairs on the Titanic so far. And I don't know. I still want to give them the rest of this year and the draft to see what's up. But yeah, I was kind of hoping like for not Hinkie level type stuff, but a little bit of like scorched earth, because they just get desperate. And like I wanted to see Wiggins get traded and just all that. I don't know. We'll see. But they do have a draft pick in the mid-tier, which is probably good. They suck so horribly, they're going to get probably a top five pick in a shitty draft, but I don't know. They
I'm
suck.
I'm so sorry.
They
I'm so
suck.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. But my Lakers are looking good this year, so that's cool.
Don't. No. Yeah. No.
Lake Show, baby.
No. Oh, my God. Such a fraud. Just Bernie Madoff. Just
why are you like this?
The that's level what, that's of the fraudulence. Real
why are you like just, this?
It's so. I just picture you in your basement with your Chiefs hat backwards.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I God. Saw you guys trolling me. I didn't get it till later. Trolling me about backup teams, trying to smoke me out. But I was a little
Stu
behind
did
the
that.
Time.
That was on Stu. Don't put that on me.
No, Bobby. you were a part of it.
He added me.
You
I didn't
concurred.
Do it. I sure as shit did, but I didn't. It didn't originate from me.
Baby, I'm not one for settling down. Sports Bachelor is the life.
You're such a fraud.
That's good. Monogamy works for some people, but. I'm Leo. Oh. I'm Leo DiCaprio. Just loving life.
No, that's not the analogy.
It's apt.
Not
that's
banging
apt.
Chicks. Your sports team is not banging chicks. It's your parents.
Oh, dude.
It's you. You're Lindsay Lohan just emancipating yourself immediately when you're like 13 and just saying fuck you to the parents that made you a millionaire. It's just, yeah, fuck it. I'm just going to pick different parents.
I can't even tell you how great it felt to finally call my dad Sunday night, just basically in tears. Dad, can you believe it? The Chiefs, they finally won it. Can you believe it? All these years. And my dad said, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm asleep. Dad, come on. We're Chiefs guys, right? He's just like, I have no son.
Fraud.
Yep. Felt good. Just adopt him a little bit. Draft on it.
The Chiefs.
Takes all kinds. Oh,
I will say that the other option, and this was succinctly summed up in a tweet by the hockey writer Sean McIndo that I saw this week. He said, sports are the thing that I do for fun that is less fun than anything else I do. And that's Minnesota sports fandom right there.
That is perfect. Interesting. Yep. I wish I would have had time to had been up on the timeline, but you and Stu giving advice and you should just stick to Minnesota sports. And just curious, how's that been working out for you?
It's not. No, that's not the point of all of this. It's not the point of all this.
Sometimes your uncle has some struggles. He spends a couple years in the old pokey. You don't give up on him.
No, you just have to deal with it. But this other uncle, Joe, he's got a Tesla. It drives itself. He lets me sit in the back.
I don't have an uncle with a Tesla. They're all horseshit. Don't have one. Not one.
No one.
And I haven't for my entire life. And it's fine. It's the hand I was dealt. I'll just pick up.
You got to dance with the one who brung you.
Instead, you with your fucking Chiefs hat and your Ovechkin jersey,
OV,
and you've got contacts in different colored contacts. So you could be like Max Scherzer.
Yup. And my Duke shorts.
It's just.
I think it's just a metaphor for life. Life is full of many challenges, few blessings, a lot of challenges. Mm-hmm. And that's what sports is like, too. Sports should be as much like real life as possible, and so you should be miserable and depressed at every possible.
Sports is not an escape.
I like
always
it.
Hopeful.
Sports should
always
be the
hopeful.
Exact same as real life.
But mostly are, miserable and depressed.
You're Ricky Bobby's wife. That's literally who you are. He goes to the hospital, and he comes out of the hospital, and his wife is now with John C. Reilly.
Yep.
You just jump ship.
Well,
on a whim.
You say that, but I do somehow pay a lot of attention to the Timberwolves.
I still care about them, but as much as we make fun of you, you were watching the Timberwolves tonight. Something that
that's true.
I admit I was doing it too. But you and me are the only two people in Minnesota who had the Timberwolves game on tonight.
And my dad.
It's like my. I'm sticking with like my high school sweetheart, even though she's like a terrible thief, drug addict. I sleep around a lot, but I still somehow keep coming back to the addict. My love.
The only game I've seen all season was that one where they were up by a billion. That's literally the only game I've seen probably in five seasons.
I will never forget that game. My iPad, I was watching it too. They were up by 15 with like 3 minutes left or something crazy, and my iPad died. I was watching it on, and I was going to plug it, and I was like, nah, what's the point?
They got this.
And I didn't, it was actually an amazing thing to do because I didn't have to watch any of that disaster. I mean, it's still really stung, but I had to at least watch it. Incredible. What a bunch of losers.
You guys complain about them so much, and I'm watching them, and they're just draining threes from everywhere. What they said, like a team record. And I'm like,
you guys are
insane. These guys are fucking awesome.
They might win it all.
What the hell are you people even talking about? I'm messaging Ramball. This is the best basketball team I've ever seen in my life. They got to break this team up. And then slowly, I see now. Okay, yeah. Oh, wow.
By the end of that game, you were like, you guys do this every like three times a week. What are you guys doing to yourselves?
This is insane.
Yeah, it is. It is. Oh.
God bless you.
Yep. We're getting, this is getting late.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to do a quick bro and turd review of the Viking season?
Do you have them in front of you?
Yep. Hold on one second. All right. You guys tell me who had the bro of the year, who won the bro challenge. John, do you remember who you had?
No, I have no clue.
John had Irv Smith.
Ooh, that didn't turn out that well.
Not great. Don't worry, though. You didn't have the worst. Stu had Chad Beebe.
Ooh, that's... That's pretty bad.
Chad Beebe. I had Dan Hunter. Hell yeah. It's fucking awesome this year. Danilo
Hunter.
Yeah,
but I have no idea. Did we make you pick a turd threshold?
Yeah, we did, and he passed it, so that's awesome.
Yeah, that's and no. No. Yeah, no, no, I can't. No,
what?
He
can't.
What? And then our friend Chickenhead Mike Zimmer as his pro. So, two absolute stinkers with Smith and BB. So maybe a half point to me and a half point to
Chad BB.
Zimmer, I mean, Zimmer wasn't a great pick either. He doesn't play in the team. It should have been illegal.
You watch your goddamn mouth.
All right. Half point to each of us. And then turd, John, do you remember who your turd was?
No, I have no idea.
Anthony Barr.
Okay, that was a bad pick.
Stu's turd. Hold on, John. Once again, Stu is going to hold my beer on this one. Dalvin Cook.
Okay, that was a worse pick. Stu's really covering up for a lot here for me.
Yeah. My turd was Everson Griffin, and Chicken's was Rick Spielman. So, again, doesn't play on the team. So
just completely on brand. I think Chicken wins that one.
Yes. Yes.
All right. John wins 8-8. Stu.
Not great.
Stu, 6-10. Zimmer and Spielman both fired.
Stu is. Maybe we should not have Stu on these podcasts anymore.
He also predicted we'd use three punters. I was 8-8.
Stu was wrong about literally everything.
Yep. I was 8-8, so I tied with you on that one, John. And actually, Chicken was the worst at 5-11. So.
Wow.
Yep. So I think in total, I win.
I think overall Stu is the winner for being so terribly wrong.
Really, really impressive. It's hard to do.
I just want to briefly say again for the record, because this game is going on right now, that the Big Ten Network forcing Big Ten basketball games to start at 8 p.m. is the most ridiculous thing ever.
What's the score?
The Gophers are up by 20 in the second half.
Oh, my good God, Jonathan. That is...
Oh, no.
What a tale.
I complain a lot about the Big Ten in a lot of different ways, and especially about Big Ten hockey, but last week the Gophers swept Wisconsin and just... They beat them senseless for two consecutive nights, and no matter how bad Big Ten hockey is, it'll never get old watching the Gophers beat the crap out of the Badgers. Never gets old. Could happen every day of the year, and I'd like day 365 as much as day one.
Yeah, it's like pizza.
Right, it's exactly like pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
Brandon? Do you know who your Timberwolves bro was for this season?
I do. I was hoping you didn't.
Do we want to talk about it? I can see you tugging at the collar of your shirt.
My bro was Jarrett Culver. Right?
Yes. Yes, it was.
And who is your turd, Brandon? Do you remember that one?
No, I don't remember that. I have remembered the entire season that I really went on record that I wanted to like Jarrett Culver. Hasn't been working.
It was Wiggins.
Your turd was Andrew Wiggins, which is not an exceptional pick, but your threshold was he would be even more hated, when, in fact, the opposite has happened this
year.
That's
actually, boy.
He hasn't
been
more
hated. You're at Stu Vikings level.
Well,
no, Andrew Wiggins still sucks ass.
Yeah,
but he's not setting new hate thresholds.
No,
you actually have some people who are saying,
it's not a
Chad Beattie
pick.
No, well.
Here, let me read. I'm going to read. I'm not paraphrasing. I'm going to read an exact quote from Brandon Broxy, October 24th, 2019. Wiggins, to set the turd threshold, Wiggins needs to drop from the most hated Wolves player in history to to new, uncharted territories of seething hatred we can't currently imagine. He has to find a level lower than rock bottom, and I believe in him.
Jesus. Well, I mean, I'm there. Does that help?
No.
No. Well, I didn't say how many people needed to believe that. I
Brandon hates us more than he's ever hated us before.
Yeah.
That's.
I mean, I have seething hatred of lots of things right now. Oh, fuck. I'm sorry. Yeah, I.
That's okay.
I had faith that Wiggins could somehow be more hated. I still think he can. I do. I believe.
Season's not over yet. I like that.
A hopeless romantic, you know?
Yep. I understand.
Okay. I think we're about done.
Agreed.
Stu said that Cat would finish in the top 10 of the MVP voting.
Wow.
That's not going to happen.
Stu is on a run, man.
Been a bad year for Stu.
He's as likely to be on a different team next year than he is to be a top 10 MVP getter.
Top 5.
Oh, Jesus.
Ugh. My bro pick just got traded, so I don't know where that puts us.
That probably is the number one bro. Covington. Good for him. Jesus. What an incredible...
Is David Vanterpool... Was that a real person or somebody you made up, Joe?
That's the Timberwolves defensive coach. The point I was making was that they were going to be absurdly terrible on defense, which is fairly true. They're absurdly terrible at everything.
We should have forced a threshold on you as well. I mean, come on.
You did. It was... I don't know where they are in the stat, but the threshold was they were going to finish in the bottom 10 in defensive efficiency.
That's a good threshold. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll always have our Gopher basketball.
Yeesh. Great.
Won't we always?
Yep. Okay, let's wrap it up.
All right.
Okay, goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.